Like, I didn't even want to put that finalist trophy anywhere on display in my house. That's okay. Kind of how I feel about that.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another Across the Table. My name is Matt Mendoza, and this is the 29th episode. This is the first returning guest I've had, and this is my interview with John Penick. John was on one of my first 10 episodes, but between now and then, he almost quit Magic and got second place at Grand Prix Oklahoma City, so I figured it would be kind of interesting to check in with him to see how things have changed and how he's doing. Anyway, thank you very much for tuning in. On with the show. Can you tell me what you had for lunch today?
For lunch, I can't even remember. After that, I was taking my GRE for 5 hours, so that used all my brain power.
And how do you think you did?
According to the unofficial scores that the test gives you at the end, very well. I should be able to get into whatever program I want.
What do you hope to get into?
There's a few schools that I was kind of looking at. Claremont Graduate University, which is near LA. Purdue in Indianapolis, like an hour north of Indianapolis. And Case Western in Cleveland. Or I might just end up staying in Springfield at Missouri State.
Cool. And what do you hope to study?
Industrial organizational psychology, which is basically just applied social psychology, or in that same area, organizational behavior.
Cool.
Basically the same thing.
Well, before I go any further, congratulations, John. You're my first re-interview.
Well, I feel honored.
And I wanted to have you on because, well, I should introduce you. You are John Penick. You are one of my friends from Springfield, Missouri. You have a few accomplishments to your name. Between our last interview and this one, you spoke a lot about quitting Magic. You spoke a lot about just being tired of it, playing it just because you had a lot of friends involved and you go to tournaments basically because of their social events. But you recently top two'd the Grand Prix in Oklahoma City.
And yeah.
So how has that changed things for you?
It hasn't at all. I haven't played Magic since then, and I almost didn't register for that tournament in the first place, even though I was on site.
Why is that?
I just really didn't feel like playing. I was already committed to the trip because I was driving, and I had three other people going with me. So I took them with the intention of seeing how I felt the night before the tournament and signing up or not based on that. I didn't want to play, but my friends peer pressured me into it. So I was looking for any excuse to drop from the tournament, but I kept winning matches.
Now, did you have any buys going in, or were you just straight just getting your wins one by one?
I didn't even know if I had a buy or not before round one, and I assumed I had zero since I hadn't been playing, but it turns out I had one. So when I saw the first round pairings, that was sweet. I got to take a little break and eat. So I had one buy. Other than that, in round two I lost, but after that I just started winning a lot.
Cool. When you went, had you done any testing for that tournament? Had you been just playing on Modo, or do you just play casually with friends?
I didn't play any on Magic Online. The friends that I was going with, I drafted a couple of times with. Other than that, like, I didn't even know what all the cards in the set were when I registered.
Okay. Well, John, that kind of speaks to your raw talent, I guess.
Maybe.
So you had this kind of tumultuous relationship with Magic, and then you get second place at Grand Prix Oklahoma City, and you're actually not the first second place Grand Prix finisher I've had on my show. I had Joe Hemmen. And you're also not the first Grand Prix second place finisher from Springfield, Missouri that I've had on my show, which is kind of funny.
Yep.
Why hasn't that changed magic for you? Like, why hasn't this good accomplishment? I mean, I've never day two'd a Grand Prix, let alone gotten second place at one. Why hasn't that affected you at all? Or has it?
For the same reason that I like stopped playing Magic, like, it's not going to change just because I got this result. I don't tend to be results oriented. So I knew before I got second at that Grand Prix that worse people than me have won a Grand Prix. Worse people than me have top eight at a Pro Tour. Like, that doesn't, it doesn't like affect me one way or another getting the result if I know that I was capable of it at some point.
Okay, but you don't find that like as a validation of your work? Like, you didn't see that as something that should have pushed you into moving forward, into playing Magic more often, into taking it more seriously? Or
if I were earlier in my Magic career, it probably would have done that. Like, for example, I felt a lot better after winning my first Pro Tour qualifier than I did getting second at this Grand Prix. I didn't feel like anything after that finish in Oklahoma City. Like, it was nice. It was cool. I am happy to have gotten the nice paycheck. but it didn't really make me feel anything after the event. Like, you expect it to hit you maybe a little bit after, like the day after or something, but that point never came for me. So if I can't even get that from doing well at that Grand Prix, then I don't have a whole lot of motivation to keep trying to play Magic and do that.
Okay. Another thing that that was kind of funny that you posted on Facebook after the win was steak knives or nothing, basically a Glengarry Glen Ross reference.
Yeah.
Is that kind of how you feel about these events? If you don't get first, you don't see them as, I mean, how do you see an event that you don't get first in?
Okay. For that tournament, any tournament in general, people care about a champion. They'll remember who won an event. And the person that gets second, they're forgettable. You don't remember who got second at a tournament at like the week after. So if I don't get the trophy, like the winner's trophy, it's not nearly as big of a deal as getting second is whoop-de-doo. I didn't even want to put that finalist trophy anywhere on display in my house. That's okay. Kind of how I feel about that.
Well, that's definitely a way to feel about it. I feel similarly. I don't, I think that everybody should, maybe it's an elitist way to feel, but I feel like everybody should, if you're going to a tournament, why are you not playing to win it? So.
Right. And it's that's kind of the mindset that I don't want to say you have to have, because you don't have to have it to win tournaments, but being encouraged to think that way is part of the reason that I don't want to keep playing Magic like that.
Like what? Oh, like feeling like you have to win the event all the time?
Yeah, like competitive Magic. I don't want to get back into it, and that's part of the reason.
Makes sense. All right, now, a couple things we didn't go into in depth in our last interview was when you started playing. When was that?
I started playing Magic in Mirrodin Block when Darksteel had just come out. I think that's 2003. And I started playing PTQs during Kamigawa Block Constructed.
Okay.
So I've been playing like 11 years or so.
Cool. And why did you start playing?
It was just a move from card game to card game. I've been playing card games since I was in fifth grade, starting with Pokemon and then to Dragon Ball Z and then Yu Yu Hakusho, and then Versus System, and then Magic.
So you started with different card games. What got you into those card games?
Well, in elementary school, Pokemon cards were, like, everywhere. So if you weren't playing Pokemon, that was strange. And I just kind of stuck with it, and I went to local tournaments. My friends didn't, but anything I do, I tend to get, like, super invested in and have to see how I stack up. So that's that's how I got started playing in, like, tournaments for card games with Pokemon. And once I was at the local game store, that was just kind of where I grew up. So game after game.
And why Magic? Like, when you graduated eventually to Magic, what was its appeal to you? As opposed to continuing with, like, the Yu-Gi-Oh! Competitive circuit or the competitive Pokemon circuit?
It made the most sense to play Magic because of the support, the tournament support, as well as it just being, like, the best game that I had ever played. So it was really deep, and I felt like it rewarded my time invested better than those other games.
Okay. Now, in our last interview, we talked about your relationship between psychology and Magic, and how there kind of wasn't a relationship there. But what do you feel like, having just taken the GRE, do you feel that Magic has helped you in any particular way do that thing?
Has Magic helped me, like...
Yeah, did it help you with the GRE, or did it help you with any of your decisions to go to grad school or to study, to pursue industrial psychology or anything like that?
In a way, yes. Because of how I treated Magic and wanted to master something, that kind of got me interested in studying human flourishing, which is why I like Aristotle so much. So,
now, can you kind of unpack human flourishing a little bit?
Yeah. Okay. I'm trying to think of a way to kind of condense it. But I guess basically what it means to live a good life is kind of what I'm interested in. So,
okay,
living a good life, doing what you do well, kind of things. So my interest in that was born from my attempt to, like, master a complex system like Magic. So I'm taking that and applying it to what I want to do with my life.
Okay.
So working to do that for people in their work, to make them enjoy their work more and do it better.
Cool. This concept of life flourishing, what would you like your life to be like?
That's a good question. What do I want my life to be like? I, for the most part, not looking for a whole lot in particular. I just want to live a comfortable life, normal. I don't have any lofty aspirations. I don't aim to be a household name or anything. I just want to enjoy my work and live a normal life, I guess.
So how do you feel? It's funny that you want to not be a household name and you want to just live your life, while also previously you pursued a Magic career, or you pursued accomplishments in Magic if you didn't exactly pursue a career. Did you feel like that was a dichotomy? Or, I mean, because you're a very, not quite timid person, but meeting you, you don't tend to, you're not flamboyant in any way. You're very, you're very stoic and just kind of, and just relatively quiet compared to a lot of, like, more talkative, animated Magic players that I know.
Yeah, that's kind of true. For the most part, it is. I also am capable of, like, letting all of that go losing all of my filters. But yeah, in general, people, when they're first getting to know me, see me the way that you just described. It takes me a while to warm up to people. But I think part of that is also helpful playing Magic. You don't want to be too expressive and give away information.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
So I guess it helps there.
But how about that dichotomy between not wanting to be a household name and wanting to have these accomplishments in this world?
Oh, yeah. There's a tension there. When I was younger, in my teens, I did want to kind of like, it wasn't good enough for me to know how good I was. I wanted other people to know as well. But that's kind of typical of a narcissistic teenager, I guess. Like, they're all about themselves and they want recognition. And I'm pretty much past the point where that really matters to me.
Okay. Now that you've kind of taken this step towards grad school, are you ready to hang it up, or are you still going to play, or have you even thought about that?
It'd be hard to play much less than I do now. So I'll probably still stay at that pace. Like, I really don't play Magic anymore.
Okay.
That Oklahoma City Grand Prix was the last time I played Magic. And before then, other than the couple of drafts I did with my friends to help them prepare for that tournament, the last time I played before that was probably a month or two before then. So I think it's fair to say that I don't really play Magic anymore.
Okay. Okay. I'm going to cut. Have you been struggling with depression?
For the past decade, basically.
Okay.
It's been a problem, yeah.
No, I didn't. I ask you this because I didn't want to assume anything. So how has Magic helped you with your depression, or is there any relationship there that you found?
I would say that Magic did not do anything to improve my condition at all. If it served any purpose to alleviate it, it was only as an effective distraction. Like, that was probably part of the reason why I used to play so much, is when you're concentrating on playing a game of Magic, it's hard to think about a whole lot else.
Okay. And how have you been kind of coping with your depression? Like, I mean, especially being, especially studying psychology like you are. I mean, how has that helped you?
I would say it's kind of helped to learn what the kind of typical causes are, so I can sort of monitor myself in those respects. I didn't really actively try to do anything to treat it until just this past, just these past few months, I started taking medicine to start treating it and changing my lifestyle.
What are some of those lifestyle changes?
I've started exercising more, going to the gym, eating healthier, and meds to help facilitate it until I get those lifestyle changes in place. I started meditating, and that's about it. I've been doing that for a couple of months, and it's helped.
And have you said that stuff has helped. And being a gamer with depression, have you ever had the opportunity to help other gamers with depression, or was that ever something that interested you?
I've not really helped gamers with depression. I don't know of anyone in particular that comes to mind in that regard, no. I used to have this kid that I was sort of mentoring in Magic, and they were 13 at the time. It's like 4 years ago, and it was nice to have that kind of relationship and teach them not only like about Magic but life in general, because you know they didn't have any older brothers and their parents were divorced and he was living with his mom, so it was kind of cool to be in that position for somebody. But other than that, I haven't really had any personal connections through Magic in the sense that you're talking about, really.
Okay. Now, this kid, did you bond with him particularly because he was younger and like you had discussed or you had discovered card games when you were younger? Because I know I personally, having discovered Magic at 11 and having gone through the kind of traumatic life, early life stuff that got me into Magic, I definitely kind of feel a kind of kinship with kids who want to learn how to play. Is that the case for you?
Yeah, his being young was definitely a factor. I watched him play when he started coming to the shop a little, and he was very impressive for how little he'd been playing. So that was like kind of a flag that this kid had potential. And he was a cool kid that I didn't mind spending time with. So yeah, it was kind of his age. I remember being the little ringer, and I liked that this kid could become that too.
Cool. And how did you identify that potential? It's kind of hard to pin down unless you kind of have to play Magic or have known. Well, you have to either have played Magic at a high level, or you have to be so accustomed, so attuned to Magic at a high level to really identify that. How did you see this potential in that kid?
Well, when you watch a kid play a game, usually there's very little rhyme or reason for the things that they do, but I could watch this kid play and like see the wheels turning, so to speak. Like I could tell that he had a reason for doing the things that he did, and that's pretty uncommon. I mean, that's uncommon for even adult Magic players. So
true.
When you've got that going on and you're 13, it's a good sign.
Cool. And how have you been helping him as he's gotten older? Or?
Well, they didn't stick with it for very long. They played for about a year and a half, and then they quit. They've recently started playing again now that I stopped playing, but bad timing, I guess.
Yeah. Does that ever inspire you to get more involved?
That was definitely the biggest reason for me to have been involved in the community, like the Springfield Magic community, ever since all the people that I used to play with left or quit playing. So that was a way for me to stay a part of the scene, and it was neat, but now that's gone. So
no, going back to when you were a kid, when you discovered gaming, were you already like, did you already have like nerd proclivities? Were you already kind of, I mean, where did you learn to play it? And I mean, you mentioned elementary school with Pokemon. I mean, did you just kind of, were you a nerd always, or did you?
I was kind of the kid that I was into a little bit of everything. I was like really good at sports when I was younger as well, so I did a lot of that. But I also was really like, I was very advanced in like school, and I played chess with my dad a little bit before I played any like card games. So I did like everything when I was a kid, and slowly like the sports got ditched in favor of playing Magic.
And what inspired that decision?
I'm not like the biggest guy, so
yeah.
When we're all developing and I'm no longer really that tall, so basketball is harder. I'm not the most well built. So football and stuff like that's not the best option for me. I didn't want to invest the time to keep up with that, whereas I could just play Magic. So and there I'm on at least an even playing field.
Gotcha. And your sports and Magic, did that help you? Did sports help you play Magic better, or whatever card game you were into? Did you see like a relationship between those two things?
Yeah, I was when I played soccer, I was a really good goalkeeper, and the biggest part of that is being able to like figure out what the person that's trying to score against you wants to do and figuring out a way to stop that. So reading people and learning their intentions, soccer helped a lot with, I think.
Cool. Now when you got older, and you started to move into card games, how did your parents feel about that? Were they always very supportive?
Yeah, they were really supportive. They never gave me a hard time about it. I mean, it's pretty cool to be able to say your kid gets to travel around the world to play a game. So
yeah, definitely. And where's the coolest place you've been because of Magic?
I like Honolulu the best so far. Like, I would like to go to Japan. That is like my one place in the world that I need to go to at some point in my life. Because Japan is like the coolest, most interesting country to me, and my dad is from Japan, so I've got the cultural aspect going and seeing where my family's from. So I want to go to Japan, but until then, Honolulu has been the coolest, and that might possibly be because there's a lot of like Japanese influence over there.
Yeah, I mean, it's halfway. I mean, close.
Yeah.
Now, there's the next PTQ season. Let's just say it's for Pro Tour Tokyo or Pro Tour Nagoya or Pro Tour Kyoto. How do you react? Would you start playing? Would you start the grind again?
I would put in more effort, definitely, and I would go to more PTQs, as opposed to the one or two that I would go to in like Kansas City and Springfield. So yeah, that would influence my decision to play.
Now, growing up with card games, how have they affected you the most in terms of life skills or in terms of friendships and relationships or in terms of anything else?
I think that card games are a really good way to learn critical thinking skills and decision making. And whenever you know a lot about game theory, you can apply that to scenarios in everyday life to help you make the best decisions possible. So in that way, I think it's affected me definitely.
Cool. And of you, one question I like to ask my guests, and I don't remember if I asked you this when we sat down to talk the first time, girls and relationships and being an accomplished Magic player, have you ever felt kind of ashamed about that sort of stuff, or do you just kind of wear it on your sleeve pretty proudly, or?
Yeah, I definitely the latter. I am not ashamed at all of the things that I do. And I think a big part of the reason that gaming has, like, and nerd culture has that kind of stigma is because that's how the people in the community treat it. They treat it like it's something to be ashamed of. And if they didn't, they just embraced what they do, then people would see it as normal, or at least more normal. So yeah, I'm proud of the things that I do, and I don't hide it at all.
All right, John. Well, thank you very much for the interview.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And do you write anywhere, or do you have any content? Do you produce any content or anything?
No, I don't.
Well, cool.
And congratulations on your second place Grand Prix finish.
Thank you.
You take care of yourself.
Yep, you too.
Bye.
Bye.
Welcome back. Thank you all for listening. My name is Matt Mendoza, and once again, you've been listening to Across the Table 29, my interview with John Penick. As always, if you have any feedback, you can send it to me via email at acrossthetablepod@gmail.com or to me directly on Twitter at Matt Mendoza. If you'd like to keep up with the news, episodes, latest updates, who I'm interviewing, etc., etc., you can always follow the cast on Twitter at Across the Cast or on Facebook at Across the Table Podcast. As well, you can always find me on iTunes, manadeprived.com, and my site, kccompetition.com. And if you haven't seen it already, there is a new episode of Walk the Plains, the video program that has inspired me quite a bit. You can find it on the mothership, dailymtg.com, and you should go check it out. Once again, thank you for listening, and I hope you have a great week.